I want to talk today about Holy Spirit. Most people don't know much about Holy Spirit. He tends to be someone that everyone, I've heard some of the craziest ideas, but a lot of people don't speak about or teach on Holy Spirit because they're confused. They don't really understand. When we talk about God or the three in one, we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so when you look at the Bible, you can see each of them in different areas. You know, we know that the Bible says Emmanuel, God with us. God came to this earth in the person of his Son. Died on a cross, took on a physical body. But when Jesus had this physical body, he changed forever the figure that he had. He was only a spirit before. Now he literally became one with the human race as well. Even when he rose from the dead, the disciples and many witnesses saw Jesus eating and drinking with them. He had a physical body. Today, seated at the right hand of the Father, is Jesus in a physical body. And so when Jesus talked to his disciples, he said, I'm going to be leaving. But it's good that I go. I never could get this part. Why is it good that Jesus, you're going to leave? Come on. He said, but Holy Spirit's going to come. And then he went on teaching on Holy Spirit. Because Jesus couldn't enter his disciples. He had placed himself within a human body. And now, Jesus, the Son of God, is also in a human body representing the human race at the right hand of the Father. Holy Spirit is omnipresent, everywhere at once. And so he, when you give your life to Christ, is the one that comes in to our spirit, remakes it, gives us a new heart, and we begin to live out of this incredible indwelling presence. Today I want to talk about the two things that Holy Spirit does in you and for you. There is his indwelling presence, which is crucial for you to stay filled with. Say, well, what do you mean by fill? Well, you know, this cup could have a drop of water and it's still H2O. Or this cup could have a lot of water. It could be filled with water and it's all H2O. And so it is up to you and I as believers to be focused on God's word, in prayer, to have a relationship with God, so that his indwelling presence continues to work within us. It gives us a joy, a peace, a patience, a laughter. It gives us a sense of purpose and patience and kindness and all of these beautiful strengths that Holy Spirit brings us internally is something I just spoke about a few weeks ago, and I called it the nine strengths. I think I did it for Father's Day, but it's applicable to everybody. There are nine strengths that Holy Spirit brings us to not stay filled with his spirit is to begin to struggle with joy, struggle with peace, struggle with patience, struggle with kindness. You begin to struggle with morality. You begin to struggle with all these areas, all because you have not understood that you must have a relationship with Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. Okay, you must have a relationship with him, spend time in the word, and there will be this just presence of God that infills you, that indwells you, and it makes your life special. But then, and that's in Galatians chapter 5, that you can find that, verse 22 and on. But then there is the outpouring power of Holy Spirit that most Christians don't know about. Okay? And this outpouring power is talked about in 1 Corinthians 12. Where it talks about the spiritual gifts, but the word gifts was added by the translators. It's just talking about a flow of Holy Spirit that flows off of you for ministry. Everybody's called for ministry. And if all you ever do is enjoy the presence of God, so you're happy, you're peaceful, you're joyful, you're patient, you have a sense of purpose, you feel fulfilled, everything's fine with you, then it's just you. That's a quick trip to depression. There is an outpouring flow of Holy Spirit that is designed for ministry that everybody has access to. Salvation is a gift to those who do not believe in Jesus yet. Holy Spirit, however, has is as a second act, and it is the baptism of the Spirit, where he literally flows out of you in a powerful way, and you become filled with the Spirit, and now the gifts of the Spirit. So there are 9 fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5 that work in you. There are 9 gifts or outflowings of Holy Spirit that are supposed to be from you to minister to others. But if you've never learned to minister to others, you've never learned to tap in to these powerful demonstrations of Holy Spirit. These demonstrations of Holy Spirit are designed to help you help others. And until you help others, you will never have the gifts in any flow in your life at all, because the gifts weren't meant for you to use on you. These spiritual demonstrations, these spiritual abilities, these spiritual gifts were designed that as you share your faith, as you tell people about Jesus, that they should be operating in your life. And if you learn to practice and believe that, you will not just talk to people and try to convince them that this is better than this religion, this one. No, because Paul says that I came to you in the demonstration of the gospel, this power of the gospel. And so I want to talk about this, and I'm not going to spend much time on his indwelling presence, because I spent a bunch of time talking about those 9 strengths. Now, to clarify, as I travel and over my years of ministry, I have found leaders or just people who have not developed the indwelling presence of Holy Spirit, but they somehow kept ministering to people and they learned to flow in the demonstration, or I'll just call them the gifts of the Spirit. They see miracles, they see healings, they see incredible demonstrations of financial victory in businesses, etc. And the world looks at this person just, wow, look at this guy, he's so full of faith and victory. But no, all he's learned is the outpouring power of Holy Spirit. But inside, because he has no indwelling presence that he has had a relationship with and nurtured Holy Spirit, he doesn't have this joy. He's missing it, even though he's ministering to others. He doesn't have this love and this value for people. So the very people he's ministering to, he begins to dominate as a leader rather than value and love as a leader who has a sense of God's indwelling presence. And so as I travel and as we train leaders, these are one of the things that we always train and equip people in. And you are a leader because if you've given your life to Christ, every one of us are called to follow Christ, but to lead others into this relationship with him. You have his indwelling presence, which you need to have this satisfaction, this joy, this laughter, this patience, this goodness, this kindness, this self-control. These are all fruits of Holy Spirit, or they grow in your life. When you hear this verse that says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, so what's that supposed to mean? He's talking here about the fruit of the Spirit that is growing, and it doesn't just boom, it's there. It grows. First that little flower, that little bud on the tree, and then that wee little crab apple, it looks a little crab, and then it grows bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger until it's a full fruit. So all of these 9 strengths are these fruits of Holy Spirit, is what his indwelling presence does. If you're single and you've got somebody with a beautiful body and you've got somebody with a beautiful personality, but you have somebody who does not have these 9 fruits of the Spirit, you in big doo-doo, you in big trouble. That means that guy or that girl has no patience, no love, no peace, no joy. They've got an earthly love, joy, peace, patience, but they don't have the work of Holy Spirit giving them a supernatural joy, a supernatural love, a supernatural patience, a supernatural kindness, a supernatural goodness that just flows out of them. And so you're going to live your life, and every time there's a problem and something goes wrong, they're going to lose patience because they don't have the fruit of the Spirit when it comes to patience. And so we as believers must stay in his word, have a prayer life, because if you don't, it doesn't matter how much you minister to others, you internally will not be alive. So your personal life won't be alive. So you won't be able to pass it on to your generations, because your kids don't want to minister to others and volunteer at church and be on, if they can't internally have this joy, this peace. And so where do they go when they can't have a joy, a peace, a laughter, they go back to the world. Like, at least I can go get drunk or stoned, or at least I can go and find some pleasure in sex or in money or something. And so they begin to move away. They've seen the outflowing power of God, but they have never learned that he has an indwelling presence that has you so lit up It has you so happy with Him, has you so at peace that your everyday life is a joy. This indwelling presence is so crucial. I want to encourage you, if you haven't heard that message or you did hear it and you didn't, you need to get that. I believe it's the Father's Day message, but it was the one on the 9 strengths of a man. And I dealt with these strengths of the indwelling presence of God. But let me talk to you today about His outpouring power. You see, when Jesus, as a human being, went into the water to be baptized, the Bible says Holy Spirit came upon Him in the form of a dove. A dove didn't come down. Hello. Holy Spirit is not a dove. Okay? Holy Spirit came down and alighted on Jesus, or settled on Jesus, upon Him, on the outside. But it came upon Him like a dove. And the Bible says from that point and on, everywhere Jesus went, He ministered to others. There was a flow that came off of Him to others. And this is the spiritual, this is Holy Spirit in His second move of God on you. Is the first is to indwell you and to make you like Jesus, fill those 9 amazing strengths, always growing, every one of them. You might have 1 or 2 growing pretty good. You might have 2 that you don't have at all, like maybe self-control or patience. You know, so many people think, you know, this is just who I am, Leon. What's that? I'm just a smoker. Man, I've tried and tried and tried. You've tried in your own strength. You haven't tried the self-control of Holy Spirit. Well, Leon, I think I'm a problem sexually because I've tried and tried and tried and I can't control myself sexually, or I have deviant sexual desires, ones that are not even proper, and so this must be who I am, and they get their identity from their desires. No, all of us have desires. I desire to punch some people. I don't move on those desires. All of us have temptations and all sorts of feelings. And so we must learn that when Holy Spirit's indwelling presence is there, that He gives you this self-control, this patience, this goodness, this kindness, this love for others, this incredible ability to live your entire life focused on others, and you're just loving it because of the indwelling presence of Holy Spirit at work with you. You need to spend time in the Word, spend time in prayer. But now, as you begin to focus on others, to the CG operator at number 6, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 says, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." There's 2 words I want you to notice here. Jesus would not allow His disciples, even though He trained them for 3.5 years in the most dynamic, prolific, theological, incredible Bible school, Jesus Christ Himself, the prof. And then He took them on the streets every day to practically show them and teach them. But even after 3.5 years of Jesus Christ teaching these 12 Himself, He would not let them go out on the field and minister to others until they received power, until Holy Spirit came upon them. And they had this incredible ability to minister to others, not out of their own wisdom, out of their own power, but Holy Spirit, who was within them, indwelling them for this incredible fruits of the Spirit, this now was upon them, focused outward on ministering to others. So, this word power, okay? But you shall receive power. Okay, when you get into the Greek on that word, this power, it says it's an inherent power, a power that you can use or choose not to use. It literally is connected a lot to your will, not entirely to your will, but your will is involved because you can choose not to witness to anybody, like some of you. And have all the great excuses. I'm not a public speaker. I don't know my Bible. Yeah, I just, my tongue gets all frozen up. So, yeah, please excuse me. I just don't witness. What a lie. What a cop out. What a wimpy way to live your life. Let others go to hell because you're just shy. In the Old Testament, when Holy Spirit would come upon people, there was a boldness that came upon them that everyone could see. And when you and I recognize that when the 120 were in the upper room and the Spirit of God came upon them, and it says, and it's like tongues of fire settled upon them. So here's Holy Spirit kind of represented like a dove. Now it's like fire. And they went out. I mean, Peter preached once and 3,000 people got saved. And then thousands every day. Well, that guy couldn't do anything right before that. He couldn't do anything right. Good Lord. Everything he tried, he failed. He was brash. He was arrogant. He was pushy. This guy would, you know, and all of a sudden now, with incredible power, he shares the gospel. And by the thousands, they're giving their lives to Christ. You are designed to have his indwelling presence. And it's like this beautiful well of salvation that's just ministering life and joy and peace to you. But then there is a power that is available to you and I, and we all need to believe God to be baptized in his Holy Spirit, this desire to go minister to others. And when you do, there are 9 gifts of the Spirit. Okay? Now, these 9 gifts of the Spirit, 3 say something, 3 do something, and 3 reveal something. Okay? Now, I could teach and just dive into this, but I want to just in a real whole way talk about this. Now, when people study the 9 gifts of the Spirit, like the gifts of healings, like the working of miracles, like the gift of faith, like a word of knowledge, like prophecy, these 9 gifts, they weren't designed for you and I to sit there and try to figure out what is each one separately, individually. Well, I just ministered to that guy. Was that a gift of healing? Was that a working miracle? Was that a gift of faith? That's not the issue. The issue is to kind of show you what Holy Spirit would look like ministering to others from you flowing onto them. You can't make people sick. Now, you might want to. You might want to pray sickness onto some people. You might want to pray destruction onto others. You might want to, but see, Holy Spirit's not upon you to curse others. Holy Spirit is only upon you to bless others. And so that Holy Spirit is now teaching us through the Word that when the Spirit of God is upon you and begins to flow off of you as you share your faith with others, your neighbor, your son, your daughter, a person at work, that the Holy Spirit will heal people. He'll bring miracles into their finances. He'll bring miracles into relationships. He might give you a piece of information about them you'd never know, except, and that's what a word of knowledge is. All these beautiful 9 gifts of the Spirit, they basically show you and I where the Holy Spirit will flow from us and where he won't, are guided by these 9 beautiful gifts of the Spirit. And so the Christians today, people who are followers of Jesus Christ, are not to depend upon themselves and their own ability to talk people into Jesus. Because you can talk them into Jesus, someone else will talk them out of Jesus. But if you've learned that the Spirit of God is upon you, let's go to the number 7 CG operator, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 11. And let's read this together. But the manifestation of the Spirit, Holy Spirit, is given to every man. Stop right there. Who has been given the manifestation of the Holy Spirit? Every man. And the word man there is not a gender word. It just means mankind. It's given to all mankind, women and men. So, but the manifestation, now what does manifestation mean? It means something that comes into appearance. Something that you begin to know, something that becomes apparent, something that is in the spirit realm that manifests in the physical realm. So your miracle of healing is something Jesus died for, but now the tumor disappeared. That's a manifestation. You're in fear so bad that you can hardly control your mind, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God flows and bam, a peace comes that is beyond anything you can do on your own. This is a manifestation. So Holy Spirit wants to have you share the gospel, the good news of Jesus to the people that you talk to. He doesn't want you to put on a big old show. He just wants you to be kind and share your faith with people. And when you do, you need to be aware that upon you, Holy Spirit is ready to move into their lives. And as you begin to understand the 9 gifts of the Spirit, or the 9 demonstrations of the Spirit, and that all of these demonstrations are given to you, and that they're like being a ninja warrior. You know, you see these ninja warriors on television, and they wear these black kind of baggy clothes, but hidden those clothes a whole ton of different weapons. They got throwing stars, they've got swords, they've got knives. Well, you've got 9. Or you've got Holy Spirit, period, and he demonstrates himself flowing through you when you share in a powerful way. It might be you're talking to somebody and all of a sudden they let you know that, well, they've got a loved one that's sick, and we'll say, do you mind if I just pray with you? And here's an opportunity for the gifts of healings to flow. And all of a sudden you might see them a month later and they're going, You're never going to guess what? You're never going to guess what? What? Remember we prayed that in the afternoon on a Monday? Yeah. You understand that the next morning, Tuesday morning, that something changed and they couldn't put their fingers, they didn't know what was going on? The gifts of healing went into operation. You didn't have to put on anything either, like, step aside, the man of God of power, for the hour is here. God. No, I'm just talking in a very normal spirit contemporary way. And as you look at these nine gifts of the Spirit, these nine demonstrations of the Spirit, you begin to believe that they're flowing in your life. Now, what this does is it empowers you for service in a way that is so exciting. You no longer are just trying to get people to follow Jesus with the power of your mental persuasion. You're just relaxing and sharing with people the Jesus that you know. So you have been given power. It's come upon you. And what's the power for? To be witnesses. Someone's saying, right now, how come I've never seen a miracle? Because you've never witnessed. Well, how come I don't see all the miracles that others see, Pastor? Because you don't even care about other people. You're still all contained with yourself. Yeah, but I got to get myself together before I share with others. Says who? And how together do you have to get before God uses you? They say that people in the first year of their Christian walk talk to more people about Jesus than the entire rest of their Christian life. That is pathetic. So somehow we've talked them out of sharing their faith. And yet the most incredible, if you want to know the purpose of your life, everyone's, Leon, what's my purpose? And they want to know, is it a doctor? Is it a lawyer? Is it a pastor? Is it a teacher? You know, none of that stuff is what your purpose is. Those are, you know, that's your job. That's one of the giftings you have. That's a skill set you have. It's something you desire to do. Everybody wants to be a cop or a fireman when they're five, you know? But the purpose for our lives is that wherever we are in business and in career is that we must be sharing our faith. Some do it through talking. Others are very quiet. They do it through demonstrations of kindness and loving and giving and honoring others. And all of a sudden, God opens up an opportunity for you to share your faith. And when you speak to people about this Jesus who died for them, okay, the Spirit of God is upon you. And He wants to confirm the things you're saying. Wants to. He's like just idling. You know, you hear these big old semis when you're parked near a curb, and you can hear this huge engine just rumbling and idle. But you wouldn't believe the power of how many tons that thing can pull. You know, when you begin to share your faith with people, if you could realize that all of a sudden this begins, the Spirit of God begins to get activated around you and all of His power ready to flow. But you need to believe it. You need to be aware that His power is upon you for witnessing. And you will be my witnesses. And if you've never learned to share your faith, you have never walked in a sense of purpose, in a sense of calling, in a sense of joy. You've never experienced it because you've never shared your faith with people. You don't get up in the morning going, what's my life all about? People are dying all around you and going to eternity without Christ. There is a hell. I don't care what all the New Age teachers on TV tell you. There's an eternity. And so our goal, our role as believers is everywhere we go, we must be aware of opportunities. And if you get your spidey sense, if I could call it that, or your, you know, the Bible says ears to hear, big old Mickey Mouse ears, this big. Just, Holy Spirit, I'm always ready while I'm working, while I'm fixing this machine, while I'm selling that car, while I'm working on this patient, while I'm, you know, whatever you are doing to earn income and money and career, but while you're doing that, be very aware that people are going to come into your world every day that He wants you to minister to. Some, it just might be a kind word. It might just be a kind action. Others, it might be taking them out for coffee and talking for 2 hours straight. You'll sense and know. And don't worry about it. Just everywhere you go, have this desire. I want to help people. Now, people who have really low self-worth, they're usually the ones that put on a great show when they share with people. Not because that's the way God wants them to be with Holy Spirit. It's because of their neediness to be seen, to be heard. And so if you've seen people who have told you, oh, the Spirit of God was upon me, and I ignore that. That's just their neediness needing to be recognized and noticed. I have found when I minister to people, I don't try to put on a show if I'm in a restaurant, if I'm in a hospital. I try to do it under the radar, to protect them from all the watching eyes. I just speak with them in a way that is kind, confident in Jesus. Pray with them in a way that doesn't draw attention to them or to me. Look at me, the great man of God. And so if we can back away and become spirit contemporary in how we do this, then you're going to find that there is a power that is upon you that's not for you. Let me ask you a question. If there was some kind of a currency on this planet that when given to you, you could never spend it on you, it just wouldn't work, and it only worked with someone else, so you had to give it away, would you give it away? Yeah. Well, that's like a ton of the power of Holy Spirit that is upon you is not for you. That's His indwelling presence. And this incredible power of God that is upon you is for others. You don't need it because you got enough. Okay? And so you must learn that it's just not right, it's just not fair that wherever I go, that I just don't share a kind word. There's people in our church here today simply because I said hi and say, hey, I know your day's looking pretty bad, dude, but you hang in there. I've had days like that. I was just kind to them. And somehow God used that to draw them to Christ or to get them to church. There's other times I just did things like just kind things. There's a family here that in our church that the story they tell me is I was in a Starbucks one time and show you how simple this is. And I had this, back then I enjoyed this one kind of coffee. It was around Christmas time. And so I bought three of them. And as I'm walking out with my coffee, one guy says to the Starbucks employee, he goes, I'm looking for this coffee. I forget if it was a Verona or whatever it was. He just bought the last three. So I just said, oh, here, you know what? I don't need three. You can have that one. And I turned around and walked out. I said, Merry Christmas. Have a great day. Well, unbeknownst to me, if I get the story right, the guy went to pay for it, but I'd already paid for it. And a family sitting at the table watching this, the guy said, you mean he paid for it and gave it to me? Yeah, that man paid for it and gave it to you. And this family sitting there knew who I was, but had never been to our church, but came that Sunday when they saw this simple act of kindness. Now, you've all done way more than that. God can use any acts of kindness, any sharing of your faith, anything that God is doing in your life. Holy Spirit just needs you to do something so He can get involved. And as you and I begin to recognize that upon you is the power of God to do miracles, to touch lives, and around you is people so needing God. Even the confident ones that just smile, you can't see a crack in their armor. And they're always so confident. And if you even try to engage them in a conversation, you'll never get anywhere needy. It's all they got it all together. Listen, the more superior people act, the more inferior they feel. Because truly confident people that come from the inside have no problem being transparent. It doesn't diminish at all the confidence that they have. And so today, my time is done. So I want to say this. Just remember these two. There's two things you got to remember: His indwelling presence. Learn God's word. Spend time talking and praying. If you pray in other tongues, pray every day. And this indwelling presence is what feeds you, and this causes you to live, really live, to enjoy life, to put the bubble, the spark in your life that you're looking for. But then there's another work of Holy Spirit. It is His outpouring power. And you'll only see this power as you begin to share your faith with others. When I was a youth pastor, I remember one time a young girl coming to our youth group because a friend brought her, and she got saved that day as I was ministering to the youth. She was so excited about the gospel that Jesus has won a pardon for you, that you get a new life regardless of how you've grown up, that Jesus qualified. I mean, just a beautiful fact of salvation. She went out, and in the next couple of months, 32 of her friends at high school, she brought them out to youth. And out of those 32 friends that she brought out to youth, a bunch of them got saved and today are serving Jesus, married and going on because of her. Now, how mature was she in the Word? I think she was still addicted to cigarettes, drugs, and alcohol at the time, if I remember correctly. Oh, so she didn't have her life together? No. She was on the journey. And I want to challenge you. Stop waiting for some kind of big epiphany that you're going to have, that God's going to start using you. And right now, wherever you go, just start sharing your faith. And as you begin to share a few words or a lot of words, a kind action, or just a sense of valuing and loving on people for the purposes of Christ, Holy Spirit will get all over that, and He will do incredible miracles. He will change things in their world that they will know. Often when I would pray with people, if they would let me pray with them, I would just say, God, I've shared You with this person this week. Would You do something in their life that makes them realize You're real and that You love them? A simple prayer like that. And that person is now like this the whole next week. And things begin to happen. And they'd see me, you're never going to guess what's happened. This is what happened to my job. This is what happened with my wife. This is what happened with my son. And they start talking about all this favor that started coming in their life, because God wants to show Himself strong on their behalf. It's the goodness of God that leads a man to repentance. So pray for them, encourage them, and let them see God's goodness everywhere. I just need to give my life to Jesus. What's that prayer you're talking about? And people begin to come. We need to, as a church, recognize that we're not here just to put on retreats. We're not here to all get together and have bless me clubs. Every one of you is to be equipped to, everywhere you go, to share your faith in a cool, classy way. And the Spirit of God is waiting to confirm all that you say in unique ways you won't even be able to understand, but He knows how to get into their world and see them come to Christ. Father, I pray right now that every one of us would be very aware of Your indwelling presence and Your outpouring power. And Father, that we would share our faith, our story, in our own unique way, with our own unique personalities, but we'd always be aware and sharing. And Father, today, if there's, for those who are here that don't know You, I pray that they would make this decision to follow You. With every head bowed for just a moment, as you've been listening to me, if you thought to yourself, you know, I don't know if I have that indwelling presence in my life. Well, that only comes when you ask Jesus to come into your heart. So I'm going to lead everybody in a prayer right from your seats. This prayer can only be prayed and be effective if you do it for you. God will never force Himself into your life. But if today you ask Him, His presence will forgive you. I mean, you'll become a brand new creation. It's incredible, this new journey that starts. So before I lead everybody in that prayer, for all of you that are here right now that would say, Leon, please include me. Today, I want to get right with God. Today, I want to give my life to Jesus. Just you folks, open your eyes all over the auditorium and just give me a quick wave right now. Just say, yes, Pastor, include me. Today, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. Thank you, others. Thank you. Great. Put your hands down once I see them. Anyone else? Just say, Pastor, please include me. For those who are in our other campuses, there's a leader at the front right now waiting for your hand. Just slip it up for a moment. God sees it. And I'm going to lead you in this prayer. Let's all pray out loud with these amazing folks this life-changing prayer. It goes like this. Just say, Dear God, I give my life to You. Come into my heart as my Lord, my Savior, and from today and on, I'm following You. Give me the power to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome to the family of God. That's how powerful, how beautiful that is.